Wow, Green Man as well. I didn't realize he was green in there. That's going to be great, a Green
Yeah,
Man.
That's really exciting. I think we're kicking off their film program, actually, which is brilliant.
Nice. And when you get a chance to see the bands, do you think, or any music whilst you're there?
Well, coincidentally, I was going anyway. So I think it's well in advance.
Hello and welcome to the Dan and Joe Film Show, episode 63, close to getting to 69. I can't wait. It is incredibly hot day recording here in South Wales. But hello to all our listeners. Thank you so much for listening and joining us on the show. And as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime. If he was a feast, I'd have an all-you-can-eat buffet just on him. It's Joe Richards.
Way, well done, Dan.
Thank
well done.
You. Did well you like done. That little pun for the, you know? The
No. I like that. I liked it, especially as you've just thought about it on the spot.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen, that was completely off the cuff. This is how good Dan is. He just made that up on the spot. I was sweating a little bit.
I was.
Because he'd forgotten to think of something to say.
You didn't need it. I am a Philip Schofield. I'm just like this. I'm a silver fox. I can do it on the spot. I'm a professional. And what made me laugh is I went, oh, I forgot the intro. And Joe just went, okay, we're starting. We're going live. Okay, 3, 2, 1, and we're recording. It's like he wanted me on the spot. But
I wanted you on the spot because I knew you wouldn't disappoint. I knew you wouldn't. I have every faith in you, Dan. That's why you're my best man at the wedding. I know you've got the time. Even if you forget your speech every day. Or a dog eats the speech on the day and you haven't remembered it, you'll think of something off the cuff. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I tell you, one of these days, though, I will not have one. And I will stack up like, I'm joined by my... And it's going to be even funnier than if I did one. So there we are. Watch out for that.
I can't wait for that day to be perfect.
Oh, yeah. No, I got you, mate. I got you. But how are you doing? How are you feeling? Like I said, it is incredibly hot here, isn't it, in South Wales? It's like 33 degrees in here. It's hot.
Yeah, it is ridiculously hot right now in South Wales. And I know there's that whole thing of, oh, well, you know, you go abroad and temperatures are like this. But we are not a country equipped to handle this sort of heat. Like, we're used to just downpour and rain and, like, torrential rain and just fog and all sort kinds of weathers. But we're not used to the sun literally being out, like, 24/7 for a week at this kind of temperature. So, yeah, I've been very warm, trying my best to keep cool, lots of cold showers, have a fan, you know, in the bedroom at night. And yeah, it's just so, so warm. But luckily, we're recording quite early on a Saturday morning, so that the sun hasn't reached peak temperature at the moment. No. I think it's 26 right now. So that's something. But I know you're the same. I know that you're the same. You don't really like the heat when it's to this level, right?
No, I mean, I sweat anyway. I sweat in the winter time. Like, I sweat with aircon on. So this is not doing good for me. But you're right. Like, we are not used to this weather. So much so that I feel like people are going a little bit mad. I was driving back this morning and I did see a man kind of walking across the road. He had 5 slush puppies in his hands. 5. I mean, the poor wife. Wow. What's she going to do with 5 slush puppies? He was there, like, he was walking and like, come on, kids, we've got the 5 slush puppies. Yeah, people are going, wow. You just need some, you know, you need to keep drinking, keep hydrated, lots of ice cubes. I know I'd probably just like to bathe in ice cubes right now because it is very hot. And you're right, it's going to get hotter, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the next few days are going to be really warm. Obviously, we hit the cinema last night and, like, quite a packed crowd, and even that was quite warm. When we walked in, I was like, oh, this thank God for the cinema, you know, it's gonna be nice and cool. And then there were quite a few people in there, and then as the film went on, you know, it got hotter and hotter, and I was like, oh my days. So yeah, it's not very comfortable at the moment, but I'm sure in a couple of months time we'll all be moaning about the rain. So it's like, yeah, it's swings and roundabouts, I guess.
Yeah, and like, you know, cinemas need to, we depend on cinema anyway, but we especially depending it because it's the aircon, isn't it? Like, yes. People go there, people go to the cinema now that never go because they just want a room of like really air-conned, you know, room. I went a month or two ago and I went to see Lightyear again, which I know you're a big fan of.
Love it.
And it was it was only film showing after school, and it was that 35 degree day. I was done. I was like, you know what? I don't want to go home because it's just going to be not really that cool there. I'll go to the cinema. What's showing? Oh, I don't care what's showing. I just want to go into a room with the freezing cold aircon, right? So I get there, and then it dawns on me. There is one screen in my local cinema that does not have aircon.
No.
Yeah. So there's 13 screens, and there's one without. Guess which screen I was in.
Oh, the one without. Just your luck.
I'm glad I don't play Russian roulette because I'd be dead in the first bullet. I would be. Yeah, so I was like, oh no, it dawned on me. So yeah, that was horrendous. But yeah, cinemas, we need aircon in every room, okay? We are sweaters here, all right? It is not nice, not a pretty sight.
It is not very comfortable. But otherwise, things are good. Obviously, we've had some great evenings this week. We've been to a couple of films. And we've got a fantastic show lined up. I mean, every show that we release, I would say, is fantastic. But this show, especially, we've got such a great lineup. I think one of our best in a long time.
We do. We have the pleasure of being joined by director Lee Haven-Jones, whose first feature film, The Feast, or Gwyledd, for all our uncomraig listeners. I love saying that word. I love Gwyledd.
Gwyledd.
Oh gosh. Emphasis on the D. Gwyledd. So that is coming out next Friday, August 19th. But we managed to go to Chapter Arts Centre, didn't we? And we managed to see a preview exclusive of the film. It was great. We saw lots of our friends that had been on the show, lots of film critics in Wales. Lots of different companies were there. We were able to watch the film. And you were lucky enough to actually interview Lee Haven-Jones himself.
Yeah, absolutely. And before, you know, we get stuck into the interview, massive shout out to the guy, right? Because we reached out to him, I think, back in June or a couple of months ago.
Yeah, a couple of months, yeah.
And I think the film was originally listed on IMDb as a July release date or a June release date.
Yeah.
Obviously not that at all. Trusted IMDb. Mm. So we messaged Lee Haven-Jones and he said, oh, you know, it's not out yet. And that was sort of it. And he said, you know, we'll reach out. And he actually did reach out. You know, we were going to reach out to him anyway, but fair play for him to remember us and to be like, you know, right, the film's due out now in a couple of weeks. So let's make this happen. Really accommodating. And what was also great was that obviously we asked for a screener and he was like, well, no, I sort of want you to see it on the big screen, which you talk a little bit about in the interview, the big screen experience and how important it is. So it was great to have that experience, that opportunity to see it on the big screen. And I'm glad he wasn't just sort of like, oh no, just watch it at home. And like I said, the night itself was terrific. You know, we got to meet Gary Slaymaker, who's been on the show, probably our longest running guest.
He's part of the furniture.
He really is. So we got to meet him in person for the first time ever, which was lovely.
Much better looking in person, I would say.
I would say so. A lot taller than I thought he was going to be. You know, I was quite taken aback by how tall he actually was. Nick from Wales in the Movies, who's obviously we're big fans of and got good relationship with going back, and new people that we've met along the way. But yeah, it was a great evening. Obviously, Claire Vaughan hosted the Q&A, another fellow guest. And it's great to be talking about a film in the Welsh language, which we always attempt to do. So yeah, we've had a great week, got a good lineup. And yeah, without further ado, should we kick off with the interview?
Let's do it.
We are very excited today to be joined by a filmmaker who is Welsh. We at the Dan and Joe Film Show love it when this happens, when we can get a Welsh filmmaker on or somebody from Wales who's made a film for the masses. And today we are very excited to be joined by Lee Haven-Jones, filmmaker behind Gwyledd, or The Feast for non-Welsh speakers, which is due out in cinemas on the 19th of August. Lee, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much for having me, Joe. I'm really excited to talk about Glaith.
Yes, I'm very excited to be talking about it as well. We caught it last night at the Chapter Arts Centre, BAFTA screening of it. The first night of the Glaith tour, I guess you could call it, because you're going around the country with this, right? You're doing a few dates around the country.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a really nice sort of relatively short but comprehensive tour. So Q&A at the BFI, then Nottingham, then Liverpool, then the North of Wales, then Green Man Festival. Then Bristol, Brixton and Brighton.
Wow, Green Man as well. I didn't realise he was screening there. That's going to be great at Green
Man.
Yeah,
that's really exciting. I think we're kicking off their film programme, actually, which is brilliant.
Nice. And when you get a chance to see the bands, do you think, or any music whilst you're there?
Well, coincidentally, I was going anyway. So I think it's well in advance. And then suddenly this offer of a screening came through from Jason Solomons at Green Man, who curates their film programme there. And I jumped at the chance.
No, I think it's going to tie into that environment really, really well. But let's talk a little bit about the screening last night. Obviously, very exciting to have it play a Chapter Wonderful Cinema. How was it last night? Were the nerves up? Were you anxious screening it to the Welsh audience?
I wasn't anxious, more excited, I think. And for us, you know, it's the culmination of a long journey that kind of started about, goodness, almost 18 months ago now, when we premiered at South by Southwest. And as you were saying, this was the first screening to the home audience, if you like. We've been all over the world. We've been to Korea. We've been to Switzerland. We've been to Portugal. We've been to Spain. We've been to Italy. We've been to Germany. We've been to the US. We've been to Canada. You know, we've been everywhere, South Korea, everywhere other than Wales. So it was brilliant, actually, last night to screen it finally in Cardiff, which is my hometown. So, yeah, delighted.
Fantastic. And I think it played really, really well. And I'm glad I got to see it on the big screen, because it is a film made for the big screen, right? And I appreciated that we had the invite rather than watching it at home on the television. And what I was struck by was visually, it's probably, you know, on a level quite unlike I've seen other Welsh films in the past, and the sound design as well. I mean, I loved the sound design of this movie, and, you know, seeing it on the big screen is worth it just for the sound design and the visuals. Was that always the intention, to maybe take what's been done before and maybe just take that next step up in terms of a Welsh film, Welsh language film, but for, you know, the cinematic screen and the cinematic experience?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That was the intention. We wanted to make a cinema film. I think in Wales, we do television very well, and in a way that perhaps has been an impediment against making more cinema, actually. So it was definitely our intention, you know, and in terms of the experience on the big screen, absolutely, it's a movie to be seen on the big screen. You know, it's very definitely referencing world cinema, from Korea to Japan, you know, the horror traditions there, and probably a lot of European cinema as well. And it's the kind of piece that needs to be experienced on that big screen. Plus also in terms of horror, I think it really plays well with an audience. You know, you can feel the energy in the room and people feed off that energy. And there's nothing better. I mean, regardless of how good your television is, you've usually got a rather poor kind of speaker attached to it, because somehow they don't make televisions with great speakers. And of course, being in the cinema, you get the full force of that sort of sound system. And like you said, you know, we paid a lot of attention in this piece, as obviously to the visuals, but also to the sound design and all of those techniques that were at our disposal, both audio and visual, to kind of make the audience respond viscerally to what they're seeing. So yeah, absolutely. Please go and see it in the cinema. It's a far better experience.
Yeah, I think I'll be going again. My girlfriend is a massive fan of horror films. And I think we will be definitely, I'll be taking her to see it just to gauge her reaction. As you said, that sort of experience of seeing how other people react to it is part of the fun. But I think we should talk maybe a little bit about the film itself. Don't want to give too much away because that's part of the fun of the film. But how would you describe it to audiences who maybe haven't seen the trailer or who want to go in completely cold? How would you best describe The Feast for these audiences?
In a sentence, it's an eco-folk revenge horror, which is singularly Welsh, but also sort of universal in its themes. There you go. There you have it.
Perfect. And there's sort of been an influx of these films. And that's why I sort of love yesterday in the Q&A afterwards with Claire, you know, great Q&A. You're talking about sort of postmodern horror or whatever and these influx of films like, I love like Midsommar, I love Ari Aster's work, and Jordan Peele was mentioned. And we're actually going to be talking about Nope on the show this week as well. So yeah. Were those some of the influences which came into play with The Feast?
Absolutely. I mean, Roger and I, Roger who wrote it, we've been inspired by this new wave, this new crop of, I guess, what you could call variously elevated horror or post-horror. I guess it's rather than, by contrast to those sort of movies I used to watch as a child, you know, there's the American commercial slashers. These are movies kind of with a social conscience, with a message, with something to say about society or about culture or about race. You know, they're films with a message that are filtered through the horror genre, through the horror prism. And I think that was very definitely the intention with this. You know, we wanted to create a film that reflected contemporary Wales and some of those preoccupations that we have in Wales, dress it up as a horror and get that message and that sort of that word out to international audiences. So I've spoken variously about kind of it being a bit of a Trojan horse in a way. You know, it's a really clever way to address a very Welsh contemporary tale, but get it out to audiences worldwide.
Absolutely. And while we're on the subject of Wales, it's a question we ask all filmmakers when we're lucky enough to get, you know, Welsh filmmakers on the show to talk about the latest releases. As I said, we've had Craig Roberts a couple of times now. We always ask this same question of him. Where do you think we're at the moment in Wales with the film industry? Is it getting easier? Is it getting better? Or is there still quite a way to go?
Yes, I think there are a few... My goodness, this is a massive topic. There are a few things to talk about, really. And I guess The Feast is a Welsh language film. And there's been a paucity of Welsh language films over the years. You know, in the last 6 years, we've probably had two other films, 6 years, 8 years, perhaps, two other films that have been sort of released theatrically and actually that have been made for the cinema. And that's a real shame. You know, we are 600,000 Welsh speakers in Wales and probably double that if you include elsewhere in the world. So that's over a million people who speak Welsh. By contrast, in Iceland, you have 350,000 people living there, which is the population of Cardiff. And yet they have this thriving film industry. And of course, some of those films use Iceland as a backdrop, Hollywood films usually. But they also have these indigenous films that come through, like Lamb, for example, you know, another horror film of last year. And it would be, I would love it if this film, Gwledd, could kind of kickstart a new wave of filmmaking in the Welsh language. I mean, I think we can do it. We have the talent to do it. But for whatever reason, we haven't done it historically. But hopefully this example, you know, the fact that The Feast has been to over 20 festivals throughout the world, the fact that it's sold well in the States and, of course, here and has been distributed globally, hopefully that will illustrate to the gatekeepers that exist that actually it's worth betting some money on this. And it's worth investing in this because it can be a sustainable business, you know, and that's quite an amazing thing. You know, I think by the time, I mean, I don't keep sort of my finger on the pulse when it comes to this, but I hear that we're doing really well in terms of sales and that we probably will make money on this film. Now, that is quite a quite a thing, really, for any film, let alone in the Welsh language. But it is possible, so long as you box clever, so long as you're pragmatic in the decisions that you make. And I think what we need to do in Wales, actually, is, and in the Welsh language, is to say, okay, we're not able to make all sorts of different films. You know, I don't think we can make action movies, for example. We don't have the wherewithal or the finance to do that. But what we can do is we could brand ourselves as sort of Wales, the land of horror, and really capitalize on that brand and make lots of horror movies. And there's a massive audience. There's a massive audience for horror throughout the world. And there's a lot of money in that marketplace. So we could really capitalize on that.
Absolutely. And I think your film is definitely a step in the right direction there. And what's next for you? Have you got a project in the pipeline at the moment that you can tell us about, or is it all top secret right now?
No, I mean, I have a few irons in fires. Nothing definite as yet, but, you know, working away at it. I would certainly love to make another Welsh language horror film. I think I've thoroughly enjoyed the freedom of doing that. You know, the great thing about making work in the Welsh language is that I guess you don't get the scrutiny that exists elsewhere. And that is really useful and benefits creativity in an immense way. You know, you get a lot of freedom. And of course, that liberty can be slightly stifling, but once you've learned to deal with absolute freedom, it's great. So I'd love to make another Welsh language horror film. I'm attached to a couple of films that are currently being written. And of course, my sort of television work continues. I've just finished a series for the BBC set here in Wales called Wolf. So that should be hitting the screens at some point early next year, I imagine now. So yeah, you know, lots of things bubbling away.
Lovely. That's what we like to hear. Well, thank you so much, Lee, for joining us today. As I said, Gwledd, or The Feast, is out in cinemas 19th of August. It's going to get a lot of play, so there's no excuse to check your local listings, wherever you're listening, and head out to watch it. Although I would recommend probably not eating right beforehand. But yes, thank you so much, Lee. All the best for future projects, and hopefully we'll catch you on the next one.
Joe, thank you very much. Cheers.
And that was our interview there with director Lee Haven-Jones, talking all about his feature film, directed in the Welsh first language, The Feast, or Gwledd, which is in cinemas August 19th. Such a lovely guy. Well done, Joe. That was brilliant.
Yeah. Really, like I said, really nice guy. You know, passionate about Welsh cinema, clearly. Very passionate. And yeah. Again, thank you for, you know, a big shout out to him and the team at Picture House and stuff for being so accommodating and arranging everything. But let's talk about the film itself. Okay, so obviously the interview there, as you said, Dan, we saw it at a BAFTA screening in the middle of the week. What did you think about the film?
It is a hard watch. I mean, all I can say is don't expect to, have food afterwards. You will have to wait in probably till about 3 days afterwards. Even then, breakfast will be a tough one because, I mean, eating my bagel the next morning, even that was like, oh, the starch, the protein. Yeah, it is a hard watch. I think the less you know about it, the better. And what I love is the trailer for this, which is very, very subtle. It doesn't give anything away. I actually had different thoughts about what was going to happen that actually did happen, which was really interesting. Firstly, it's just fantastic to see a Welsh language film get this kind of attention. I think it's been a long, long time. And, you know, the last Welsh film I think we reviewed was The Toll back in, like, I can't remember, it was like last year, which is mad to me. I can't believe it was that long ago. But it's so great to have a Welsh first language film getting picked up by Picture House. It is going to get a nationwide release. It has been touring across the globe. It's been to America, been to London Film Festival. So we're not the first to watch it. I know it's been on the shelf for quite a long time as well, which is really interesting. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was unsettling. I thought it was incredibly disturbing, most of which, and I don't want to spoil anything, but there are certain kind of gore effects. There are certain scenes in this which are really, really kind of hard to swallow, pardon the pun. It really does hit you in places that I wasn't expecting. The cast are fantastic, in particular Nia Roberts, who was at the Q&A. She plays the mother in the film. And she kind of, you know, Claire in the Q&A said about how, you know, we're kind of siding with her and she's the source of reason. And you know, she's a character that we're kind of behind. And you know, the film, it is about kind of greed. It's about wealth. It's about class. You know, it's about kind of respecting your environment here in Wales and the repercussions of that. And I thought her as a character, you know, she was the one that I clinged on to the most. And I was like, right, okay. Even though all this kind of, you know, absurdity and tragedy is going on, I could definitely side with her. And yeah, it's just visually, it's stunning. It hasn't got a massive budget, but I thought some of the shots, some of the, you know, the angles and especially the external shots, which is beautiful. I mean, of the actual landscape itself, the house and how they managed to make it feel so tight and claustrophobic. And able to build that atmosphere. It's just excellent. In particular, there is a steam room. There's kind of a sauna room they go into, which I thought was terrifying. I thought it was just really, really effective way to handle that space. I really enjoyed it. I think it is a slow burner. It took me about a good 20 minutes, half an hour to really get into the story. I think it spends too long at the start. And I think it's interesting to see that, you know, the director wanted to have no dialogue. I wouldn't have started that way personally. But, you know, it's entirely up to him, isn't it? And I think, you know, character development, I think we could have had a bit more of that with some of the family members. But on the whole, I think this is a really effective, disturbing, unsettling Welsh feature. You know, it's not for everyone. It is rated 18. It is gory. It is going to really, really creep you out at places. But I think just an excellent first feature. I can't wait to see what Lee Haven-Jones and Roger Williams, the writer, do next. So, yeah, really good.
Yeah, and they've got a good working relationship, clearly, Roger and Lee. But yeah, I definitely share your thoughts a lot on this, I think. And going in, I mean, Welsh films in general are notoriously renowned, I think, for being slow. And I think Nick and I, we were chatting before the film, and, you know, we had concerns that, you know, it was going to be another sort of film like The Passing. You know, Nick and I have seen lots of Welsh films now. The Passing, there have been so many where, you know, it just really struggles to get the momentum. And you're absolutely right. This is a slow burner. And I'd say the first act, I did have some slight concerns that, you know, this wasn't going to pick up and was going to maybe leave me a little bit cold. However, it does gain momentum in that sort of final hour as plot threads start to, you know, come apart and come back together and tie together. And I think it ends up being something which was really unexpected and really, really different. I love that it was tied into Welsh mythology. I would have liked more of that probably, and maybe I would have liked more of a focus on certain plot points to have made some of the reveals at the end all the better. I definitely think some of the reveals could have had maybe more of an impact, had a bit of time being spent to maybe establish, as you said, maybe a couple of the characters at the beginning of the film and a couple of the themes at the beginning of the film. That said, of all the Welsh films I've seen, it's probably up there as the best that I've seen coming from, you know, our country. As Lee says in his interview, he believes that as a nation, we're never going to make a blockbuster. You know, we're never going to make, a Bruce Willis action movie like akin to Die Hard or anything like that. We just don't have the funds. Yeah. But what we can do is brand ourselves as a nation of horror, you know, and that's easily achievable. And I love those ideas. And watching this, I definitely think it's easily achievable, because what they've managed to do with, you know, the budget that they've had in the in one location with a great team of crew and cast is make a film which does unsettle you and does leave a lasting impression and does make you think. And it's not a straight up horror film in that sense of, oh, you know, we're going to kill a load of people and that's it. It does have those themes. So I really admire the film. And I think I really pray that this is sort of the beginning of a new wave of Welsh cinema, you know, which is horror based, which continues to sort of build on the success of this film to really create that brand that he was talking about in the interview. So, yeah, I you know, as I said, it is a slow burn, but of all the Welsh films I've seen, you know, it certainly feels more fast paced than a lot of them. That's for sure. And the cast are great. Annes Elwy in the lead. She is ethereal. I was obsessed with her performance. I just thought she had a quality about her, you know, where like an elven sort of quality, like Galadriel or something like that, which sort of ties in a little bit to her performance and her role, I guess. Yeah, the cast are great. It is gory. I think horror fans will love the last act, especially. And it does have a really impressive payoff. So, yeah, really loved it. As you said, Dan, it's what's great about this is it's going to be playing in cinemas all across the country. So please do go seek it out, especially if you're a horror fan. But yeah, hold off on the food. Don't go for a lasagna beforehand, you know?
Oh, no.
Don't go for an Italian before
you're
going to watch this.
Say no bueno, no Italiano. Yeah, grazie, but no. You don't want the lasagna or the little pasta show. No. Yeah, definitely go out and support it. It's Welsh cinema. So, yeah, and a big thank you again to Lee Haven-Jones for joining us. Moving on now, let's talk about something very different, but is along the horror genre. Let's talk about Prey, which is a new film on Disney Plus here in the UK. You can also catch it in Hulu in America. Directed by Dan Trachtenberg, who I'm a big fan of. He directed 10 Cloverfield Lane, which I still think is incredible and does not get the praise it deserves. But this is the origin story of Predator, and it takes place in the Comanche Nation 300 years ago. So the Comanches are a tribe living in the 1700s, they're hunters, they're warriors. All of a sudden, though, a predator species crash lands onto their land, and they have to basically go and track it down, try and find out what kind of threat it is. The lead character here is a woman named Naru, played by Amber Midthunder, and she is somebody who, despite her being a woman, she wants to be a warrior, she wants to be a hunter. She really thinks she's got what it takes, she's training to be, and all the other men of the tribe just don't believe in her. They don't think she's got what it takes. So it's all about her as well, trying to prove herself to this tribe against this deadly predator. And gore ensues. Here's a clip.
I need to give me a horse. It's coming. Get your side loose.
That was a clip there from Prey, and such good word of mouth for this. I've got to say, I think, you know, it's one of those films that just from word of mouth, you can just hear everyone loving it. I mean, it's getting really great reviews, you know, really high praise. I'm not the biggest fan of the Predator series. I've not seen many of them at all. I did see the last one, which wasn't great at all.
Shouldn't make you want to go out and watch the others, to be fair.
And actually, like, that film did no favours because there was a lot of controversy, I think, with the filming of it. And Olivia Munn, I know, didn't applaud it at the premiere.
Yes,
yeah, loads of stuff. I remember it was really covered in controversy. So it's really nice they've done a reboot and they've gone back to the basics, the origin story of this. I just think, in general, you know, basic is not, sometimes could be a bad word, but for this, it's not, because this film keeps itself really simple and really effective. It's a really straightforward story, basically about this predator who's invaded this community of tribal warriors, and they just got to basically take it down and kill it. And so there isn't a whole lot to the story of this, but it works in its favor, because what it does allow, it allows for better character development. So in particular, the lead character, Naru, I thought she was fantastic because they give her the time. We actually see her training. We see her kind of getting stuck and struggling. You know, she's not invincible. She's not a Wonder Woman type archetype that we've seen in other films. She's a woman that is vulnerable. She at times, she, you know, she gets captured by the predator. She, you know, like I said, she's not invincible, and she does need her other tribe to help her out. But what I loved about her character is that she's incredibly smart. she'd able to use her set of skills to escape different situations in the film. It was really refreshing to not have this kind of badass Wonder Woman type character who can just defeat anything, you know? Like, that's not realistically how things would work out. So she's fantastic in this, and so are the rest of the cast as well. You know, you really get a sense of their relationships and how, you know, how they have to survive in this environment. The Predator itself looks fantastic. The visuals on it and the kind of the effects are great. The kills are super gory. There is a lot of CGI. I would have liked a bit more practical effects here. But like I said, if you're in it for the kills and the gore, definitely be happy with this. And I just think it's paced incredibly well. It really is. I think, you know, just it flies by. It's 90 minutes. And I was absolutely hooked from the first moment, really. It's going to be interesting to see where they take this series now, where they take this origin story. Are they going to do a Prey 2? You know, are they going to set it maybe 100 years later? You know, we could be seeing kind of Predator meets History Channel here. You know, it could be educational. You could go to the Victorian era next. We don't know. You know, he could enter Downton Abbey. I mean, I'd see that. Lady Mary. Oh, Lady Mary.
Yeah, Maggie Smith versus Predator. That would be fantastic.
Give it to me in bucket loads, please. but yeah, I really love this. I really did. You know, you believe the hype. It's a lot of fun. It's a shame it's not in cinemas. I would have liked to see it on the big screen, especially in like IMAX. I think it would have really worked in that level. But yeah, really a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. What did you think?
Yeah, very, very much agree. I mean, I sat down to watch on a Friday night with Hannah, and it's her favorite film of the year. She absolutely loved it. And it was one of those experiences where, you know, we're sat there on the sofa and literally we were on the edge of the seat. You know, Hannah was absolutely flipping out. She was stressed out. She was trying, you know, she was sweaty. And this was before the heat wave. And yeah, so it's her favorite film of the year. I think it is tremendous. I think you're right. You know, they strip it back to basics. I think the last Predator with Shane Black, if I remember correctly, it just had way too much going on. Like, they had all these different characters, like military people, and like they kept introducing different people throughout it, and it was just too much. And I think Predator works back when it is a stripped back survival movie in the jungle or in the wilderness or in the middle of nowhere, or LA if you're in Predator 2, and one person be the Predator, so to speak. You know, I think that's where it works best. And I think it nailed that template really, really well. Like I said, the protagonist is fantastic because you're absolutely right. You know, it's not a Wonder Woman type character where she's invincible. You do fear for her. And I think that's key to the tension of the film, that, you know, she can be hurt. And I think that I love things like that, where the lead hero does get battered about and gets bruised, and it just makes it all the more exciting. And like we were talking about it last night and saying, you know, that even like the finale, it's just done in like 5 minutes. It doesn't overstay its welcome at all. It just has a task in hand. It just does what it does very, very well. It has no interest in overconvoluting the plot or anything like that. And I just think it works all the better for it. It is a crying shame that it's not in cinemas, because I do think the visuals are lovely. I think the cinematography is great. And I mean, the temptation with any other filmmaker, I think, would be not to worry about the cinematography, you know, it's a Predator film. You know, we don't need to worry about making it look nice or anything like that, per se. But obviously, as you said yourself, Dan Trachtenberg is such a great filmmaker. 10 Cloverfield Lane, I agree with you, is absolutely incredible, that he's taken the time and the effort to, you know, make it look nice and focus on the visuals as well, and make the set in itself look wonderful. So yeah, I think it's just a great summer blockbuster, which would be even greater if Disney had, you know, had the faith in it to put it on the big screen. And I think it would have done really, really well. I wouldn't be surprised if there is another one, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do put that into cinemas, to be honest, based off the hype of this one. But yeah, great summer movie. If you're a fan of the franchise, I sort of am, you know, I'm familiar with all the films. I've seen them. There are some great callbacks in here to some iconic lines from the original, which, you know, I did cheer about. And yeah, I just think it's a step in the right direction for the franchise. And yeah, fingers crossed we get another one to this quality. But yeah, absolutely loved it. And the great thing is, if you subscribe to Disney Plus, which a lot of people are, you can watch it now, tonight. Watch it tonight. Saturday night movie.
Yeah. Couldn't go wrong. Yeah, I mean, sweat bucket loads. You're going to be sweating anyway, so just sweat more. Yeah, there's nothing exactly wrong. If it feels good, do it. I love it. A little bit. Quote. Yes, excellent. Moving on now to our final film. We're going to talk about the highly anticipated Nope. Directed by Jordan Peele. Joe, do you want to explain what Nope is about?
Yes, so Nope, the third feature from Jordan Peele, who fans of the show or, you know, anybody who knows me knows I'm a massive fan of the guy. Obviously, we've had horror sort of tinge last couple of films with Get Out and Us had sort of social political undertones. This is very, very different in a lot of ways. Daniel Kaluuya returns as the leading man this time around, playing OJ, which I thought was a great joke. OJ Hayward, who is the son of a long line of Haywards who own a ranch and they breed horses and everything like that. And these horses are used for productions. Such great Hollywood features as The Scorpion King.
Oh, yeah.
It opens with a really tense sequence with him and his father on the ranch. We hear like this wail coming from the clouds, a bit of a scream, and all these bits start to just fall to the ground, and a coin hits his father and ends up killing him. As the film progresses, we meet Daniel Kaluuya's sister, played by Kiki Palmer, whose name is Emerald, who sort of returns to the ranch and to support him. As the film progresses, we find that, you know, that thing in the sky is actually extraterrestrial and very, very scary. Here's a clip.
Cinecloud. Cinecloud.
OJ! It's Cinecloud!
Okay, there was a clip there from Nope in theatres now. As I mentioned, I am a massive fan of Jordan Peele. I have given his last two films the full 5-star treatment. I just think he is a filmmaker who, over the course of his career, has just made these terrific pieces of cinema, which, as you know, Lee, going back to the interview with Lee Havin-Jones, was saying, you know, sort of tie into the post-horror, elevated horror resurgence that we've seen recently with Get Out and Us, which managed to both be terrifying, but have a necessary and relevant undercurrent running through it. So I just think he's great. So my anticipation levels for this were through the roof. Left, and I didn't really know how to feel after watching it last night. I sort of got home, I went on Twitter, and one of our previous guests, Tom Beasley, did a tweet about it. I think he summed it up really well, where he said that it was slippery. It's a slippery movie. And I like that because it absolutely is slippery. And I couldn't really get my head around it, or I couldn't really grasp it at any point, I don't think, as to what was going to happen, or did it have any undercurrent? Did it have a message? What was the message? Maybe it was the weather. Maybe I was too hot to pick any messages up. There's certainly elements in the film which I think are better than his other two films. I think it is visually more pleasing than his last two films. I certainly think it plays more towards summer blockbuster crowd. And there were certainly elements throughout it which did remind me of Spielberg, which is, I think, one of the greatest compliments you could probably give a filmmaker. So that stuff I thought was better than the last two films. What was missing for me was direction, I think, and a point to it. Not that he needs to have a point to every film, not at all. But I think I was, because I've been over the last two films expecting that from him, it was very strange to not have that running throughout it. And I sort of missed that element. I like horror, which I can, really bite into and dig down into and try and pick apart the themes. And I wasn't really getting that a lot from this. I'm sure they're there. I'm sure they definitely are. And I'm sure a lot of film fans will come to me and be like, oh, well, you actually missed this part. The cameraman said this. And, that's fine. And I'm looking forward to watching it again to see if I pick up any more on it. But as it stands, I think, his confidence is clearly growing from a visual style, a visual perspective and a technical perspective. But I just wish they'd focus more on certain elements like Gordy. There's the thing with the chimp and Gordy's Home, a TV show from the 90s, which I loved. And I wish it elaborated on and focused maybe on more of those ideas at the same time. So a mixed bag. I certainly think it is fantastic. It is better than a lot of the summer fare that we see. But yeah, very slippery, as Tom Beasley has said. Really hard to get a handle on. And I'm really excited to watch it again to see if I pick up anything more the second time around. But what did you think, Dan?
Yeah, you're right. I think it's a difficult one, and I left the same. I left feeling cold. I felt a little empty. I felt like the film, was a little bit empty for me compared to his last two. And I remember walking out and turning to you and saying, oh, what did you think? And you said, well, it's not a five. And I went, oh, crap. I went, oh, no. And I've got to say, I think you could feel it in the audience. You really could. You could feel it in the screen. There were a lot of people going back and forth to the toilets. There was a lot of people, I think, who came into the film expecting something and didn't get it. And that's not just based on his last two films. I think that's just based on horror. And I think, it is lending itself much more to the sci-fi genre. It's much more interested in that. But I think the marketing of it is very clever, because I think the marketing in the trailer makes it look like very horror and heavy. And it isn't. And I think for me, I love the ideas in this. I think the concept is really interesting. You're right. I think the visuals are his best yet. And it's the first horror film to be filmed in IMAX cameras, which I have no idea. But you could just tell, because it looks beautiful. It really, really does. I mean, especially like the landscape shots and when he's looking up to the sky. But for me, my response to it kind of said it all. And I was never really on the edge of my seat. I was never particularly gripped by it. I was more confused about certain directions it went into. In particular, this whole subplot going on with Steven Yeun's character, Ricky, when it's flashed back into his childhood. I'm not going to spoil it. And that didn't really amount to anything. But I think what they had there was really, actually really scary and effective. But that didn't go anywhere. I thought the characters themselves, I think Daniel Kaluuya was great. I think I loved how kind of that he played, how downplayed it is and how subtle his performance is. Keke Palmer, again, is very the opposite. They contrast well because she's very kind of lots of energy, very much more vibrant of a character. So they work. The rest of the characters I didn't feel like worked at all. I Brandon Perea, he plays the guy who works for the camera shop who installs all these cameras. I mean, he was okay. I think he was supposed to be kind of like a comical fact. I don't know, like comic relief. Michael Wincott, they bring him in as kind of this veteran filmmaker. And I just felt like I needed more kind of subtext in this. We're used to that with Get Out and Us. They are rich in subtext. They're not always making massive political statements, but they're always about something. They're always trying to get to the heart of something, whether it's horror related or not. And this just, again, left me very empty, very cold. I didn't feel like it was really about anything. And I think it's very interesting to hear all these theories about, well, it's about social media. It's about fandom. It's about you. And I'm just thinking, I didn't get any of that at all. I mean, I personally just got a film that is focused on storytelling, which is fine. It's a film about UFOs, about extraterrestrial life. That's all I got from it. And that's not a bad thing, like you said. Like, the film is totally watchable. I was never particularly bored. I didn't know what was going to happen. It is unpredictable. And that final act, you really don't know who's going to survive or who's not. You know, the more I compare it to Get Out and Us, the more I'm thinking, I got to be honest, I was left a little disappointed by it. Saying that, a second viewing might change my opinion. I don't know. I think this is going to be one that's really going to divide people. And all I'd say is, you know, the fandom at the minute online is everyone pretty much loving it. You know, if you love it, great. If you don't, it's okay. Like, you don't need to be scared about what other people are going to react to you. Because the online space can be really, like, it can be a hard place, you know. And that's fine. People see different things. It's subjective. But, you know, if you loved it, great. If you didn't, fair enough. I got to be honest, I didn't quite understand it. I left me a bit cold and disappointed. But who knows, on a second viewing, it might change my mind. So
I think a second viewing is going to be key. And I am going to go see it next week on Super Screen, or, you know, the biggest screen possible, and see if that helps. And yeah, you know, you don't always have to understand cinema to enjoy it. Like we were saying yesterday, Us, that final half hour, you know, I still don't really get it, but it was just beautiful and it touched something in me. But this, yeah, I didn't get that feeling, which was slightly, you know, let down by. But we'll see. But it is out in cinemas now, and I think it's going to do well regardless of what we say. So
it will.
Like you said, it doesn't matter if we like it or not. You're going to go see it, and I think it's going to do well.
The box office is sure not going to say nope. It's going to be saying, give me that money, boy. Give me that money.
Yeah.
Right, moving on now to our last feature. It's time for Two Truths and a Lie, baby. Thank you, Jingle. So it's time yet again to play Two Truths and a Lie. For those who don't know, this is our regular segment on the show. I give Joe three facts based on this week's three new releases. Two are true and one is a lie. And Joe just has to tell me which one he thinks is false. And I did tell him before the show, I've got a cracker for you today, mate.
You know, I know, you've picked this up. So.
I mean, forget Christopher Nolan's Tenet. This is going to really work your brain right now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, dear me. Okay. I'm nervous.
You're sweaty.
I am.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, here we go. So, fact one. The house used in the movie The Feast is called Lighthouse. Oh. It's also used in the horror movie You Should Have Left with Kevin Bacon, and is located in Lambeth, Wales. Okay, that's your first fact. Fact two. Sari, Naru's dog in the film Prey, had no previous movie experience and was adopted only 2 months before shooting. He's a natural. And fact three. The word nope is delivered 37 times throughout the runtime of Nope.
Oh my days, that is a cruel one.
Yep.
And I was expecting the Kevin Bacon to rock up because, yeah, when we went to see it on Wednesday night, obviously you'd gone to the bathroom before the Q&A had started, and Nick came to me and he was like, oh, I swear that house was the house from the Kevin Bacon movie. You Should Have Left, which was awful. And I was like, well, I haven't seen it, but I was like, I know Dan has seen it.
Yeah.
So I knew that was going to come up.
You knew.
So the house is called the Life House because obviously in the Q&A that was mentioned that it's called the Life House. Ironic. But was it used in that Kevin Bacon movie? I think that you might be trying to trip me up there. The second one with the dog, it was very good dog. It was a very good performance.
He was. Some people say Shakespearean like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
the bard would let them.
Expecting best supporting at Oscars next.
Oh, definitely. At least the Golden Globe.
Yeah, and then the last one, nope, 37 times. I don't think it was said 37 times. So I'm going to, I know no, they said a lot, but I don't think nope was said 37 times. So I'm going to take a punt and I don't know. It's really hard actually.
Yeah,
let's go nope. That's okay. Nope is the lie. Nope is the lie. Okay. Let's go for that.
Okay. So you really thought about this, didn't you, hard? And, you know, I'm really sorry to say that you got it correct. Well
yes,
done.
Yes.
The anticipation in his face. He was like, please, please, I can't tell my mum I failed.
Yes.
Yeah, well done. That was my fault. I was like, I should have not said 37. That's ridiculous. What was I thinking? I was like, nobody says that 37 times. What am I thinking?
No, could have been, because that is the type of stuff you get as trivia, isn't it? Oh,
yeah.
Nope was said that this amount of times in the movie. But yeah, I thought you might be trying to trip me up with the Kevin Bacon one. That's very sneaky of you, Dan. Very sneaky.
But... I'm a sneaky boy. I'm a sneaky rat. Oh, well done. Go on, dear, take a sip. I hope there's a little bit of whiskey in that cup as well, because you deserve it, champ, even though it's like 11:30. thank you so much, Joe. And that's all we've got time for on today's show. I cannot believe it. A massive thank you again to Lee Haven Jones, director of The Feast. Go and check it out. It's in cinemas across the UK, August 19th. And a big thank you, as always, to you, Joe. For your expertise and your good looks.
Thank you, Dan, for your expertise and your height. I am joking. You're a handsome boy. Yeah. You're a handsome boy. And your legs, I mean, wow.
Legs for days.
Legs for days. That's the one plus of this weather. I get to see your legs all the time.
Oh, you do. Oh, yeah. I mean, forget Bigfoot. These are hairy ones, these are. Watch out. Moving on from that, don't forget you can follow us on social media. We're under the Dan and Joe Film Show on Facebook. You can also catch us on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is @DJFilmShow. That's @DJFilmShow. And you can catch all of our old episodes on Mixcloud, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And we'll see you very soon for our next episode. Stay safe. Try not to get too sweaty, and we'll see you then. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.